Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA number 142. This is Kevin DeFrango. Sitting beside me is Ken Phillips. What's up, good sir?
Hey, man. Good to be back. I feel like we're on a little bit of a roll here, Kevin. No, probably not that much, but we did record last week, so that is something.
Yeah, this is we're at least stringing them together here again.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to start a streak somewhere, and two is a good place to start it.
Yeah. I think that's probably the earliest you can really say you're on a streak.
Yeah.
You have to have a minimum of two in a row.
Yeah, yeah. I really think that you need to go with... I guess it kind of depends upon what sport you're talking about.
Oh, no. I wouldn't say that. I think it's... I mean, what sport would it...
Well, like in baseball, like, I think you need more than... like five games to really be on a roll.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, no, I'm just saying,
like, because there are so many games. Like, if you win five straight in the NFL, like, you're kind of halfway to the playoffs at that point.
I was just meaning that you have to have at least won two games or done two things in a row to even be considered to have a streak.
Yeah, going. That is the minimum hurdle.
Yes.
But
and so we were clearing that, clearing that today. Happy to be doing that with you here.
Yeah, well, and one of the reasons we happen to be recording on a somewhat off day is that I am headed back to Altoona, Pennsylvania, to go enjoy what will be a dormant rivalry after Pitt Penn State play this coming weekend in Happy Valley.
Oh.
I am going amongst the enemies this time instead of with the allies.
Well, you have been, I mean, really sleeping with the enemy, given that your wife is a Penn State fan, if you want to consider that, you know, think carefully about how you're phrasing things here. But so you say that that's going to be the, that will no longer be a regular game for them, for those teams?
Yeah, they had a four-game pack, I think. You know, two in Pittsburgh, two in Happy Valley. And they did not re-sign. And, I mean, college football is really crazy. Like, they have it booked out, like, 5 to 7 years in advance, something like that. Just because of all the logistics that are required.
Right.
To move all those kids around.
Yeah, I was thinking about that when we were covering that XFL story about that, you know, just thinking about what it would take to, like, start up all those teams at one time. You know, all the you know, logistic considerations and everything that go on.
Oh.
I mean, even with an established, like, you know, league like the NCAA, you know, there's so much that has to happen for them before it's not like they can turn on a dime to, like, you know, change their schedule. Like, this stuff, they have to plan out years in advance, so... yeah, there's a lot that goes into it.
Pitt Penn State will not be a thing for at least that span of time. You know, whatever, however far out exactly they are booked. I don't care enough to look it up, you know, but...
Yes, that would be beyond our, you know, our aims here tonight.
Yeah,
we're just.
I mean,
maybe if we have an engineer someday, Kevin, we would be able to have people, you know, him look or her look these things up for us. You know, we can dream, but
well, yeah, it's just sheer laziness right now. But and I'm not sure how far you.
And one could argue it doesn't really matter.
No, it really isn't relevant. They are not set to play anytime in the near future, so it is going to be kind of
so stipulated. Yes,
to go to this again. This will be the second time I've been up in Happy Valley for a Pitt Penn State game because I went sometime when my older brother was at school at Pitt. Because I went to a Pitt Penn State game at Pitt, and I went to one at Penn State. because the one at Pitt was on Thanksgiving Day.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. I've never been to a football game on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, it was like early in the day, so we were back to... We had it at my grandmother's place.
Okay. Was she like watching the turkey or something while you guys were at the game?
Well, everyone else was there. My parents were there. The rest of the family was there.
Just you went to the football game?
Ron and I.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
It was just the two of us.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But, you know, we were back by a pretty reasonable time there to have Thanksgiving dinner.
I can remember that it seemed like growing up, Penn State and Pitt played each other quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it was a long-standing thing until Jopa wanted to start splitting the difference 6-4, and Pitt was having none of it. So the rivalry went dormant, and West Virginia kind of took on more prominence in my book, although I guess they had been a rival with Pitt for a while prior to my personal recollection. But I do feel like it took on added significance after Penn State left the picture.
Yeah, well, that sounds like it should be an enjoyable afternoon there. Of football? Is it in the afternoon? Or
yeah, it is a noon. It's a nooner.
Well, there you go.
So we are likewise going to be done at a pretty early time frame. But we are going to take our time leaving since it's a goddamn zoo up there.
Yeah, I used to direct the traffic in those after those football games. Never went to a football game during college. I worked for the student auxiliary to the police down there directing traffic. And yeah, people would sometimes get really mad waiting in that traffic, if you can believe it, Kevin.
What?
Yeah, people would get mad at us, if you can believe it.
This is shocking news.
Yeah. It's no fun for anybody. I'll just say that much.
As if you could make the roads larger all on your own.
That would be cool.
Was it just John Smith that was doing all the railroad tracks?
John Henry?
Oh, John Henry.
Okay, yeah.
You could be like the John Henry of roads and like just start laying asphalt as
Full Hero. Just like Full Hero John Henry. Except I'd have to like compete against a mechanical road layer or something like that. Because I believe that was his legend. Wasn't he like working against a drill? He was like trying to dig a tunnel, a railroad tunnel. I think that's what happened. He had like a hammer in each hand, if I recall correctly. I could see myself as that sort of figure. I think it's a pretty natural fit for me. I mean, you know, usually I see myself in front of a keyboard coding, but I could also be a road layer in a contest with a machine. Yes, Kevin.
I don't even know how you got there.
Because that's what John Henry's story was.
Yes.
You brought it up, trying to blame it on me.
It went off the rails with you. Because I was just saying that the traffic out of there sucks because there's just not a lot of road out of State College. It is not a big place. And when you have 100 some odd thousand people jammed into one small area in a very small town,
right,
it's just hard to get out, and you'd need to personally lay road like John Henry.
That image is so clear in my head.
to help people get out. But I'm not surprised they're assholes. I mean, people would do that. I've mentioned before that the Columbus Crew games, they've been much better recently with the new ownership group. But it used to be, I would tailgate after the game just because it made way more sense to tailgate after the game.
You feel like they've done a better job at emptying the parking lots? after the games?
Yeah, they've had a better flow of traffic.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
I think they've hired, like, maybe a half dozen cops, and it's really helped.
Oh, that's good.
You know, like, I don't think you need that much, because, it's another place that there really aren't a whole lot of... It's not the best place to get in and out of, even though it's, like, right on 71 there.
Yeah. It's awkwardly placed there, yeah.
Yeah, it's awkwardly placed, and the roads that come into it aren't that big themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, trying to fit 10 to 20,000 people, you know, at any one time in and out is a little tricky.
And that is tough about State College being such a small town. I'm not sure, you know, people may be aware of that. But Ohio State being here in Columbus... a lot bigger town. There's a lot more infrastructure to handle that many people, I'd say.
And it's still kind of crazy getting out of an Ohio State game.
For sure.
And they're similar sized crowds. So, yeah, you kind of dump it onto a much smaller system. And so we're going to take our time and let some of that clear out before we head back ourselves.
Yeah.
Because I think we're tailgating post-game.
Well, you know, speaking of games, Kevin, I think maybe we've been putting off talking about this one, but just wanted to kind of circle back, I guess. The Steelers have played their first game.
I mean, I think it's a fine topic to just keep on going back to. It's something that we've talked about off mic. Why not bring it on mic? It's Steelers talk segment. Because there aren't enough of those. There are definitely not enough white people talking about the Steelers.
I believe this is the first podcast that's ever dared broach this type of topic.
On a consistent basis. Or a somewhat consistent basis.
But yeah, it was a big disappointing start there, you know? Dare I say a kick in the nuts, you know? That's not how, you know, on national television...
that was one that it did remind me of the time that unfortunately your father was up here watching it.
Oh, that's true. They were playing the Baltimore Ravens that time. It was the beginning of the season.
Yeah, because they lost, I think it was 34-6, I believe was the score. Because I saw it in a write-up somewhere. And because that was 2011, if I also recall correctly, and they ended up going 12-4 that season, and they ended up in the wild card spot because Baltimore beat them twice that season.
I do remember them doing fairly well after that game. So I guess if you're trying to look for a silver lining, and you're a Steelers fan. If you're not a Steelers fan, you're probably not needing to look for a silver lining. But
yeah, I'd imagine that. The division as a whole really did not have a good start to the season, except for Baltimore.
I did see the Browns looked like they were having a bad time there.
The Bengals, man, they really could have won that game. You know.
And the Baltimore, they won, like, by 30 points or something, didn't they?
No, it was, like, 40-something.
Wow.
Yeah, because they had 42 points at halftime.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, that can't go on, right?
No, I don't think that's going to go on.
All right.
We'll see. But, and the crazy thing is, I think someone mentioned... that the Steelers don't play the Ravens until later in the season.
Well, yeah, the Steelers' offense was not looking great there, Kevin.
There is a lot of blame to be placed. The defense was not saintly, but, you know... they at least put forth more of an effort than the offense.
Yeah, I feel like I saw some bad throws. I saw some bad drops. It was just all around not great. I don't think they had too many. They kind of abandoned the run, it seemed like.
So. Yeah, I was pretty annoyed by the fact that they dropped out of the run really early. Like, I understood that they were down in somewhat quickly, but there was no reason to stop giving the ball to Connor and Jalen Samuels.
Right.
Because they at least seemed to be somewhat effective.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been better than anything. And I don't understand going for a field goal instead of a touchdown at that point in the game. We were texting a little bit during that one, and I think neither of us understood why they went for that three points instead of a touchdown.
Oh,
when you're down by three scores and it doesn't change that you're down by three scores. I don't understand. Like, you should try to go for the touchdown. It's not like you have a whole lot of time left. I don't know. It was in the second half, I believe.
Yeah, it was already in the second half, and it was just like, and New England was already kind of killing them.
Yeah, it was bad. They needed something good to happen.
They really needed more than 3 points.
Yeah.
And they just decided to kick the field goal to make Chris Boswell feel better about himself,
maybe,
I guess.
Maybe that's it. They were trying to kind of build his confidence a little, get him some easy kicks there to start the season. I don't know. But that did not end up working out in the long run.
No, not even a little bit.
Yeah. So, not sure how bad they are, Kevin, but I was not given a lot to look forward to. Of course, that could just be the beginning of the season aberration, but
yeah, like I said, they turned out 12-4 the last time they got blown out in the season opener. I'm not predicting a 12-4, I don't think, this year, but because I do feel like a young defense against Tom Brady is really not the best formula. I think maybe if they get a little more playing time under their belts together as a unit, things will improve.
Yeah.
Again, I am more on the positive side of it. It sucks to get shellacked like that, especially to start the season, and especially because I think we were both at least somewhat bullish on their chances, and to get buzzsawed like that is a little rough.
Yeah. And so at least at this point, the Steelers have 0 wins this season. 0, which is a different, actually, concept than our next topic of null. Which,
yeah.
As a programmer, I do, appreciate this story.
Yeah, this one was pretty crazy from Wired.com. A gentleman, Joseph Totaro, decided to get a license plate in the state of California that was the word null spelled out, NULL.
Correct. And the interesting thing about that, I think, for his future, for his, that really affected his life in surprising ways, is that in computer code, the word null represents the absence of any value. So as I was saying, the Steelers have 0 wins. It's used, sometimes I think the British use the word null to mean 0.
I feel like I have a tendency to use null more in the 0 sense,
mm-hmm,
than in proper context, null, really.
Yeah, but I don't know, maybe in other contexts, maybe this is the only context that it matters, it's this way.
That it means that.
Yeah.
But that is very important, though, because that is really the whole you can almost sum up this story in that sentence. You know what I mean?
But I would argue that this is maybe surprising repercussions, let's say, of him having used the license plate NULL, N-U-L-L. Because apparently when, well, should we explain what happened first, Kevin? I believe he started to notice a few strange things. Like he was getting tickets in the mail that he did not receive, or his car was not involved in. He was not involved in.
Right.
And he thought it was just a mistake and kind of didn't really do anything about it. I think he did end up paying one of them, though, which he, because he was like, this could have been me. I'm not sure. So he paid one of the tickets.
Yeah, it's pretty wild that the license isn't a part of any of the tickets. Like, what your license plate is, to be able to go, oh, this is definitely me.
Well, yeah, that is... I think this these probably were people that they weren't able to get a license plate for. Maybe they were going too fast for them to see, or whatever reason, they didn't get their license plate number in the system
right
when they issued the ticket. So that value then was actually set to NULL, the computer concept, and somehow... the company, and it was like a private company, that set up this database of traffic violations, did not, well, they call it sanitizing your input. They did not sanitize that word, NULL. And so it tricked the computer into thinking that it was a NULL value for his license plate, basically. Which matched these other tickets that they weren't able to get a license plate in the system. So those license plates were also set to NULL. So his record was getting all of these random tickets attached to it. So he was receiving all of these fines. Yeah. And he had a really hard time explaining, through the court process what was going on. It sounds kind of like a major pain in the butt to me.
Oh, yeah. The fact that this guy is continuing to stick it out. Because I'm trying to find the...
it was definitely thousands of dollars worth
of tickets. Yeah, because he got it down to $6,200. Down to. And he was trying to get it down further than that, so I must have passed up what the total was, because I feel like it was much higher than that.
Yeah, and I think it may have impacted his ability to, I don't know, it was either renew his license or get a lease or something like that, because he was shown to have all these outstanding fines to his name.
Yeah, that's not good on a background check.
Yes. I mean, that's a situation where he was trying to be funny, maybe, and ended up that the joke was on him.
Yeah, and I mean, he said that he's going to stick with it, despite the fact that the computer programmers still haven't completely fixed the problem, I feel like, on their end, for the NULL situation. Even though, because I believe he got the situation cleaned up with the DMV itself, but he did not get the situation cleaned up with the ticket company.
Oh, yeah, because that was actually a private company who was in charge of collecting the tickets and keeping track of all that stuff, which seems like, I don't know, should that be something that the authorities are handling directly, so that since they're the ones who are kind of collecting or, enforcing laws based on that information? I'm not sure. It seems a little strange to me.
I guess I'm not surprised. It is it's a little bit surprising. You would think that they just kind of process them themselves, but that's a lot of... That's a lot of money going through there, I suppose. And it might be easier for an outside company to handle that instead of having your own billing department.
I was just reminded of this somewhat famous, I would say, comic by XKCD. That's it. And this one, I believe, is known as, Bobby Tables, people refer to it as. And it's taking a similar idea where this woman has named her son Robert, drop table students, which happens to be database instructions to delete a database table named students. So when they put his name into the records, the comic strip is the school calling her and complaining that did she really name her son that? And she's responds by saying, "Yes, of course, little Bobby Tables, we call him." because of the drop table instruction. Which is pretty funny and also related to this topic of not sanitizing your inputs so that the computer would, you know, if you do this properly, Kevin, you would kind of block off somebody's name so that when it's entered in the database, there's no chance for the computer to think it's code or anything like that.
Oh, right.
So if that's not done, then you run into problems like this. Potentially that it gets just kind of dropped into the rest of the code and it thinks that it's code. so fun stuff.
I guess I don't get why this guy wants to keep his, after all this hassle and like he did, like he ended up getting down to like maybe $600 worth of fines or something like that. But, you know, they're not making any promises that things might not go weird again. And he still wants to keep the license plate. I'd be like, oh man, fuck this license plate.
Yeah, seriously.
Like,
well, I almost feel that way about
those are principles that I just do not have. Like, that's not a hill that I'm ready to die on.
I almost feel that way about any vanity license plate. I mean, I've never had one. I don't really see. I mean, I guess having like a short one like that is kind of cool. But I don't know. It would be cooler, I think, to have like a single letter as your license plate number. I feel like I've seen that.
I was going to say, isn't there a minimum letter count?
Dang it.
I thought that there was, but maybe I'm wrong.
You would think that you should be allowed to. That would make it actually easier to identify your car, your vehicle. I mean, in a way. If you're gonna try to evade, you know, attention, I saw his license plate. It was C. That's it. Yeah,
it's, yeah, man. It was just C.
Man, that was really easy. Usually, these phone calls take a lot longer.
Usually, the people are way less accurate. But with one letter there, it's really easy to remember.
Yeah, almost too easy. I don't know why you would not let somebody do that. It just seems kind of like a stupid rule.
Oh.
So hopefully, maybe they rescinded it or something. I don't know. Because I feel like I did see a single letter one recently. If you're out there and you have a single letter license plate, please get in contact with us. We'd love to interview you for our next episode.
At DeFranco11, at Gozer33, at Stunt Granny, wherever you want to hit us, yeah. You're more than welcome.
Absolutely. Now, I don't think we're going to solicit any volunteers for our next topic here, Kevin.
No, I don't think I...
That would not be ethical. In many ways that are outlawed and outlined in this article, plus some, I would say.
Yeah, the article headline was very correct, that you can't keep your parents' skulls.
Period.
Period.
It doesn't say period, but...
Evidently...
No, this article exhaustively explores the reasons why you cannot keep someone's skull. And it's right there on the label. I mean, it does what it says. So, in a way, this is a good article headline, I would say.
Yeah, the Atlantic.com not fucking around with this headline.
Now, and I believe this is actually an excerpt from a larger book.
Yeah, will my cat eat my eyeballs?
I think that is a question people wonder.
I don't know. My cat. Luckily, none of the cats that I have been around have eaten my eyeballs.
Yet.
I do not think that it's going to happen. Like, I think that I'm past worrying about that.
I mean, when you're... Maybe it's from the point of view is after you've passed on. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that if it's an animal and it's in the house and you're the only one in there,
right?
It's not being fed. Yeah, you're going to be the feed at some juncture.
I mean, you've already
dog cat
fed your cat how many times? What's one more time? You can look at it that way. In a way, it's not so crazy. No, I guess you could say, like, why, you know, you really do you care, I suppose. But regardless, this article was which I think is an interesting view or a question.
It is not one that I had thought about in particular.
I would say that it has occurred to me, like, okay, maybe this is a weird thing too, but like taxidermy, like I feel like some people do think that that's creepy and weird.
Like
keep, the semblance of an animal around.
Yeah, I would have been really weirded out to have a Kia and a Cayenne and a Priscilla in the house still. Like, that is weird and creepy to me.
Yeah.
Like, even the I shot this giant bear, it's still pretty weird, man.
It's different.
Pretty weird. It's definitely a different, like, going from a pet to a trophy, there's a definite dividing line in there.
Yeah, and the idea that it was once a living thing, I guess, is a little strange. And now you've had this... I mean, I guess it's not a corpse, really, that's in your house, but certainly remains of some kind. I guess prepared to not rot or anything. I don't know how they do that, actually. Some kind of mummification process, I suppose?
I'm not sure. I did not do that in childhood. As you may recall...
Oh, you were not a taxidermist as a child?
Well, I did do the removal of the deer skin and tanning its hide with its brain for my one science project.
Oh, dude, that's hardcore.
Because that's evidently the way American Indians had done the process, and my neighbor was very into Indian processes. For animal killings.
Wow, that's pretty wild.
So, yeah, he was pretty hardcore about observing that kind of thing.
So, would you say the tanning was a success?
Yeah. I believe turned into moccasins later. So, if I'm not mistaken,
what is tanning? If you could sum it up. In 8 words or less.
Deferring sun oil to seal.
All right. That's under 8.
Yeah.
I feel like that's maybe 5 words even.
I was trying to go for some efficiency.
You're showing off. Yeah. Well done. Well done.
Yeah. Hey, if you're going to make a large opening for me, like 8 words... I'm going to bring it in under that count.
And I did not say it had to actually be a sentence either. So you did, you were you know, crafty there with your answer.
Yeah, straight to the point, man. Just like this article headline.
Yeah, that's right. And I appreciate it.
Yeah, and it was something that I guess I wouldn't have thought about. I would not want to keep my parents' skull around.
No, I guess not either.
As an heirloom, that would be pretty fucking weird,
now, people,
in my opinion.
All right, but people do keep, like, you know, cremated remains at their houses.
Oh, yeah, which I still think personally is weird. Because, as the earlier stated about the demise of my two dogs, I did not want dog in a box. That is my shorthand for that. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, we have like a pet cemetery at my parents' house in the country, so that's where we sent our deceased animals. So that's a nice place. I feel like it would be a little bit, I don't know, a little bit weird, I think. But I know people do it for sure, and I don't want to necessarily call people weird who you know, it's just not, it's weird. It's different from what I would do, I suppose, you know.
That is definitely for sure.
But in this too, I think, would be different from what I would do, keeping somebody's skull. But at the same time, I don't know. It's like,
I guess I could see doing it. Like, it's kind of interesting.
I mean, it would be metal as hell.
It would be metal as all hell. And I do feel like, and this is something that they didn't really explore as much, I do feel like there are other cultures that are more in touch with the dead than American culture.
Yeah. That's for sure.
You know, because I feel like there's like, and I feel like it's Southeast Asian that they like can go and live in the grave sites sometimes to try and gain guidance from their ancestors.
It's interesting.
You know, there's kind of all kinds of different thoughts about it, and I guess I'd be interested to know if. And I would hope the article would have dug into it, because it was pretty exhaustive what they went through about why you can't. And honestly, most of the article was why you can't legally keep it, and what a morgue actually does. Which I don't know if you remember. Do you remember going to the morgue when we were at St. Mary's?
I do remember that, and I guess I'm not exactly sure why we did that, now that I think back on it now.
I remember smelling formaldehyde, and I remember kind of probably getting high off that shit. That was very potent.
Well, you were not supposed to drink it, I should say.
No, I remember them saying that it's bad. They did give us the option to smell, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. But you could smell that stuff across the room. Like, that was very potent.
Yeah, I remember
it's kind of surprising that, you know, during a viewing you can't smell it.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a very strange field trip.
Yeah, that was pretty, that's up there on strange field trips.
I don't know what the purpose of it was. I think it was just a local business was the idea.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was kind of teaching us about the afterlife, sort of, too.
Really?
Ken, we're all going to heaven if we just pray and are forgiven and
I mean,
tithe well to the Catholic
Are we church. Also embalmed in the afterlife? Is that, like, a, you know, concurrent event that happens as part of the, you know, spiritual process? Are we spiritually given spiritual formaldehyde? I don't know.
I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, no one ever seems to describe it that way. I'll throw it out that way.
If it's in there, it's really de-emphasized, I feel like. Nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
Well, Yeah, then I was just thinking, if you were going to have somebody's skull, I feel like that's the sort of thing you would have to, like, pull off having, like, on your bookshelf in your house, really.
Because
I feel like
right.
if you have that, like, in your closet or something, that's really problematic. It, yeah.
It makes it 100% creepier if yeah. you keep it in the closet.
I think so. Or if you have, like, a little shrine or something. Yeah. I don't think that's
well,
probably going to be
closet
raising
more
some red flags.
Than shrine? Because shrine is out in the open.
Well, you could have a shrine in a closet, though, I guess. It's was kind of what I was picturing.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that's... shrine in the open, pretty creepy, I think. But that's probably just from my cultural perspective.
But less creepy than one in a closet.
Yeah, I think if you open a closet and you see a shrine with a skull in it, that's like, ding, 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 ding. I'm out of here. I mean, you have to have that conversation early on in the relationship, I assume.
Yeah, that would have been one when I was on the dating circuit the second time around. It definitely would have called for a breakup conversation.
If you're, like, putting your coat away or something and you open that closet door and you... Yeah, that's...
There's a dead cat head shrine there. And I guess that was kind of one interesting topic they brought up in the article, was that morgues are not capable of defleshing a person. So that is kind of part of the problem, is that they are ill-equipped to do what evidently is... It's still weird to me how... They made it sound like it's somewhat frequent when people ask these questions.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know people who have asked about keeping, like, I don't know, their gallbladder after they had it removed. It doesn't... Oh. I don't quite understand that myself. But I think people are curious about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I've got it. Did I...
But I don't think you're allowed to, I don't think you're allowed to do that either. I think it's like some kind of a biohazard or something like that. They don't want to, you know, release even your own organs to you that has been removed.
I'm trying to remember if I had to sign a waiver to get my teeth when I got my wisdom teeth out, since I got them out fairly late in life, or if I just took a picture of them and posted it on Instagram. Ugh. And grossed a bunch of people out.
Dude, sick. That is not the kind of stuff that dudes who like stuff like. Or maybe it is. I don't know.
that's very metal of me to do, Ken.
That is metal as hell. Yeah, I had my wisdom teeth out later in life as well, Kevin, but I was really not in the mood to care, to really care where my teeth were at that point. I was barely keeping it together, and as I recall, that was maybe the day that Trump fired James Comey, so it was like a very surreal kind of day for me all around. I remember sitting in my chair, like, nodding off, scrolling through Twitter, being like, what the hell is going on? It was very confusing. I don't recommend it.
I don't know if I was fully out. I think they just gave me a number. Because they only had to do 3 of the 4.
Oh, really?
The other one was out.
Yeah, that's what they did for me. But, yeah, I was out. Jackie had to drive me home.
The wife was so pissed when I walked home. Because it was only like 5 blocks from the condo. I was going to pick you up. Sorry.
Yeah, they actually would not let me leave without somebody being there. So I don't know. I was all the way out.
Yeah, that definitely makes a difference, being all the way out and only being partially or just numbed up.
Yeah. Yeah. I can remember having very spotty memories after that. It's always weird when
my most recent trip there to the ER that involved getting put under. Yeah, I was pretty out of it when I came back, too. Mm-hmm. Even though I was only under for like 45 minutes or something.
Yeah.
Minimal.
Yeah, it's a similar thing for me. It's very disorienting still.
Yeah, it's not fun.
I don't recommend it. I think I mentioned that. But I do recommend getting it done, I suppose. It did, in general, help with
dental
situation, yeah. But, yeah, not...
It's one less thing that'll be on your skull when it's defleshed.
That's right, Kevin. When I arrange to have my skull left to you so that you can let some beetles chew all the flesh off my bones.
Yeah,
and you put me on your bookshelf, for God's sakes. Don't be a weirdo.
Yeah, that's always been one that, and it does seem hard to let your body just decompose on its own to help feed the earth. That I believe is not very very legal at the current moment.
We were discussing,
kind of talked about that body farm way
composting,
back.
Yeah.
that was a much older episode of OPA that I'd really need to look up to know which number it is.
You have to go back in the stacks to you know, dust off some of our old archives there to see what that episode number was.
I believe that was only double digits somewhere.
Whew. Can you believe? We were so young, Kevin. Before we became jaded podcasters.
Oh, boy.
Well, this next topic, I think, involves somebody who's young as well, Kevin. And
yeah, he's much younger than us.
Yeah, it's fair to say. I think, you know, we can't pretend that this guy is not younger than us.
Yeah, he is all of 17 at this point.
Right.
So, much younger than us. And supposedly, the teenager went blind after only eating fries, chips, white bread, sausages, and ham since elementary school.
I mean...
They did not sound the surest that this was definitely the condition as you went through the article.
You mean like there's no mathematical proof that this is why he's going blind?
Correct. They thought that still with him eating ham and having some level of protein would keep him away from what they thought might be the problem.
Yeah.
Because if he just ate carbs, it would be a problem at some point.
Surprised he didn't have scurvy. That wasn't anything they mentioned, because you need vitamin C, I think, to prevent that, right? That's like something your body cannot produce by itself.
Correct.
But yeah, somehow they didn't. Maybe there's vitamin C in potatoes. I don't know. Is that crazy?
I don't think it's completely crazy.
I think that might be true. But yeah, I've heard of kids being picky eaters. This... It's just taking it to a whole new level.
I feel like my nephews are back to the we're going to try some stuff out phase. And, you know, they're just getting around double digits as far as age goes.
Yeah, that's really important to get your kids to try different things, even if they don't try, you know, a whole lot of it. I can remember having a lot of fights with my parents growing up, Kevin, around the dinner table, them making us eat all our vegetables. And I've come to think that that's probably not the best way to go about it, just to try to make it less confrontational, because I think the important thing is to get them to taste the food at least. I don't know if I've harped on this before, Kevin, but this is the perfect topic to do so. Yeah, if you just...
Well, this was one that Midge always said, you never know if you like it if you don't try it.
Midge is a wise woman, because that's the exact truth. And if you try it enough times, you'll come to develop a, you know, appreciation for these things. At least that's the theory that I believe.
I completely subscribe to that because that is certainly something that IPAs were something that I do not feel like were really in my palate range. But I beat my palate into submission.
Considering that's like that. The only beer that's legally allowed to exist.
Except we'd have an illegal beer right now.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, you kind of have to get a little bit used to IPAs, I think, as a beer drinker these days. Maybe that's changing a little bit, but yeah, certainly in the recent years. You do get you do develop a taste for things over time. So, I don't know. This kid was diagnosed as some sort of mental illness, right?
I'm trying to figure out what
something like extreme avoidance, food avoidance, or something like that, because he would always avoid. He hated the textures.
Avoidant restrictive food intake disorder.
Yeah, so I mean, it sounds like
they're sensitive to textures and are worried about eating.
Yeah, I feel like I've run across people like that from time to time. It's not something I could quite understand.
I can understand being weirded out by some textures that are possibly in the food palette, but there are a lot of them. It's just like, why? Huh? What?
Yeah, I feel like this. I feel like octopus hits me a little weird, like so rubbery and chewy.
Yeah, but
that's probably a really extreme texture. From a Western diet point of view. So I don't know. It's hard for me to necessarily sympathize here, but I can understand, you know, mental illness being, different for different people. So hopefully you would think he would have got some more attention though. Like, I don't know. What do you think I don't know what to say. I can't imagine like a kid being like okay with a kid like only eating Pringles, white bread, French fries, whatever the heck else. Like that just seems like crazy to me.
Yeah. Fries, Pringles, white bread, slices of processed ham, and sausages. I can understand when people don't want to try the variety of stuff that I do.
Yeah.
But it's weird to me when people get that in the pocket with stuff. You know, I guess I just find that very interesting. Like, to be somewhat limited, I understand, you know. Maybe you just like Italian food or something like that. You tend to go that way. I can understand when you kind of have at least a little bit of a variety that you can run to. But to be that limited by the time I, 17 is pretty, that's pretty late there to be that limited.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely a point where I was starting to get more interested in a lot of food, actually, around that point of my life. I will admit, because there's some stuff I remember Midge being mad that I liked the cafeteria lasagna before her lasagna.
Uh-oh. Well, probably because they had more, like, I don't know, sugar and crap in that cafeteria lasagna.
I just think that my tastes were changing somewhat in that time period. Because I do know that they change every now and again, and that just happened to be one of those palate-changing time frames. I'm not really going to chalk it up to anything more than that.
Yeah, they do say your taste buds change every 7 years, although I'm not sure how they could possibly arrive at that conclusion. That's the same for everybody?
I was going to say, it's probably outdated information, too, if we like actually punched it into the Google right now. I'm sure something would pull up.
That sounds like one of those scientific wives' tales. I don't know if that's the right term for it. Or scientific urban legends or something like that.
Myths to be busted.
Yeah, like you're supposed to drink eight glasses of water a day. I think that's like made up. Oh. There's a couple other ones I was coming across recently. But the things that everybody thinks is true and really never bothers to really look up and get to the bottom of to see where that came from.
Yeah.
And sometimes it turns out to be like really faulty evidence. Yeah. So don't be afraid to fact check, I guess. Could that be our moral of the story here?
I guess. Don't let your children only eat potatoes,
white bread,
and processed hams and sausages.
Even if that's not 100% why he was blind, they do think it was from some kind of nutrition deficiency.
Yeah, that did not help his cause at all.
No.
That'd be one where if I were 15 years old and I'd be like, oh, my eyes are getting fucked up. Oh, they're telling me I should change my diet? No, I'm good.
Well, I mean, if it's been going for that long, I mean, it's got to be, when you get into a habit, it's hard to change.
Yeah, that's still just a bonkers habit. People, and I guess this is still another one where we really see a lot of bizarre habits that pop up.
Hmm.
I'm sure if this happened back in ye old taverny days, word was not going to travel about this particular event happening.
Ye old taverny days, no. It would probably be the sensation in the local village, but really not reach much farther than that, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Now, in the age of the internet, it gets everywhere.
Yeah, unless it
gets on CNN or Newsweek.
The odd merchant comes to town maybe and picks up the story and carries it with him, but that's going to be slow, a lot slower than being able to push send on, Twitter and sending it out to, literally dozens of people, Kevin. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
Well, we have a little hashtag for the ye old Twitters. It's Belltime Beer. It is not used very much except between Jeremy and I. But tonight's beer is a little bit of a repeat beer. The last time we were down at Stent Grand Studios west of the east. Fat Tire from
back again.
New Belgium. And it's a delicious beer. Like, again, there's a lot of good things to say about this beer. Good carameliness, a little bit of hops punch in there without being an IPA.
Yeah. You do not have to have your taste buds altered to enjoy this one. Although maybe it wouldn't hurt. Just a little bit.
Well, yeah, if you're in the IPA game, you do need to alter your taste buds just to drink this one down. Bit. And it's certainly, to me, very somewhat reminiscent of what beers are coming up on the shelves have been the last couple of weeks, the Oktoberfest beers.
Yes, so...
Those are usually a little less hoppy than this is, although this still isn't terribly hoppy. They're even less hoppy and more caramely, and they're very tasty.
And speaking of Oktoberfest, we may have a beer fest to look forward to later this month if we can arrange it. We may have some other local beers to report back on at that time.
Yeah, do an all beer show. Why not?
Could be good.
Okie dokie. With that, he's at Gozer 33, at DeFrango 11, Brad's at Stunt Green. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to us, and hopefully we will add Spotify to that list soon.
Yeah, man.
Which would be nice. And have a good night.
See ya.